Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
Bro, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week. So
oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
That wasn't that fun. All right, go ahead. Raise your hand if you missed that feeling on Sundays watching football and just being mad that your guys weren't getting targets or the guys on your bench going off for career highs that'll never be matched again. Go ahead. Raise your hand. I see that one. Yeah, no, you're lying. That you didn't have fun. Yeah, I know. It's the best, worst feeling in the world, and I couldn't be happier it's back. So welcome to Season 4, Week 2 of the Semi-Pro Ducks Podcast. I'm your commissioner and host, Rick. Here to guide you through the madness of the NFL fantasy world. We have some great guests this week, and starting thing off, our Southern Bell Cone Commissioner. You can find him on Twitter at the Grand Manion. Welcome back to the pod, Pip. How you doing?
And we're facing worn out places, worn out faces, riding early for the daily races.
Oh, hey, Rick. Sorry about that. I was just getting caught up on my favorite YouTube videos. Yeah. Life is going on.
That's all you got?
How
just
are you?
Life is happening, huh? That's kind of where you're at right now?
Yep. The days are ticking by 1 minute closer to death. And also 1 minute closer to my stand-up next year. So, you know, I think that's how I'm feeling about fantasy football right now.
I mean, congratulations. I think it'd be safe to say that about half the league feels like they should be start actually writing jokes for their stand-up session. I think that's about where we're at.
Yeah, it was weird. There wasn't really a close matchup. I think every team that lost should be feeling pretty worried, except for maybe Brandon. I think Brandon had a good week. A decent week, at least. But then all the teams that won are probably all thinking, wow, I've got the squad to win it this year. It's just really interesting. I don't think we've really had a week like that to start off a year where the margins of victory were so big, and you either were really good and you had guys go off, or you were on a team like mine who and the other four or five other losers who were just like, man, I've got a lot of work to do this year to make this work out. And that may be overreacting a little bit, but you know, I think you got to win. You got to win soon and early to give yourself a chance. You don't want to start 0-1. You don't want to start 0-2. You definitely don't want to start 0-3 because then you're thinking, wow, I've got to win 7 of the last 10 to make the playoffs, and that's not easy in fantasy football.
Your team sucks.
I think that just about sums it up, right?
Are you still there? You keep going like a really long time.
Dang it. Hold on.
Your team sucks.
There we go. Did you hear that?
I heard that, yeah.
All right, cool. So there we go. That just about sums it up then, right?
Yeah, that's about sums it up, yeah.
All right, well, let's get to those matchups then as we move along. I hope you do write some good jokes. I think that'd be pretty funny see you do some stand-up. But let's start with the matchups. We're starting with Jared, who is 0-1 against Jordan, 1-0. That's Jay Menafili versus Unitas Arab Emirates. Jared finds himself not only in the bottom half of the standings after losing to, of all people, the Los Angeles Chargers / Melvin Ingwams, but he's also our first Smelly Butt Team of the Week.
Smelly butt, 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 smelly butt.
Yuck, that's one smelly butt. Your team sucks.
David Johnson led the way with 22 of Jared's 78 points, but was even more incredibly let down by the Jags' defense with a minus 8. 7 of his 10 players put up less than 10 points. And on the other hand was Jordan, who got a huge day out of T.Y. Hilton, Evan Ingram, and Chris Carson. Jordan is a 10-point projected favorite, already up to 53% chance of winning. How much trust can be put into T.Y. Hilton essentially putting up huge, you know, wide receiver one numbers going into weeks two and beyond here?
I don't really know after week two, but I do think that T.Y. is going to regress a little bit this week. We saw what Cleveland did against the Titans secondary last week, which really wasn't that much. But I think the Titans defense is actually going to be pretty strong this year. They were good last year. But week one, they started off really well also. So I would not be surprised if they can shut down T.Y. Hilton this week. You know, to one of those maybe weeks where T.Y. Hilton goes for like 3 receptions for 34 yards. But also the Titans, they generally do struggle against the Colts, but that's when Andrew Luck is playing for them. So I don't know how well T.Y. Hilton's going to do this week, but I do think it will be worse than what he did last week. And I think what he did last week is going to be more of the abnormal numbers that T.Y. Hilton's going to be putting up. I think he'll generally be putting up worse numbers the rest of the season.
Yeah, I obviously, like, 20 points a week would just be insane. But, you know, like, I still think he's got, you know, a 7 or 8 catch game in him, you know, every week or two. He's still a damn good wide receiver that if Andrew Luck's healthy, he's going, you know, 2 rounds earlier than he did. Because he fell into, like, the 6th round in our draft?
He was 5th.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody in the 3rd round maybe would have taken a flyer on him. I think, you know, maybe if maybe Fronick takes him instead of Antonio Brown, like at that turn in the 2nd, 3rd round, like he's a really good player still.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is. I think there's so many question marks about the Colts, and I'm not sure if any of them were answered last week. It just seemed like a kind of a wacky game. Wacky Dad was in the stands and he loved it. But, you know, I mean, the Colts, I mean, Marlon Mack ran over the Chargers defense. T.Y. Hilton went off, you know, and then Austin Eckler put up unreal numbers. So that, I think that game last week was just kind of wild to begin with. So I'm not sure how much we could take out of it. It's only week one, you know. Teams were either super rusty and, you know, floppy like the Bears and Packers were, and then there's that game and the Chiefs and the Chargers game, or the Chiefs and the Jaguars game, where, you know, the defenses were so bad that the offenses just went off. So I think this week we'll start to see more normal numbers.
That's fair. I guess another kind of falling into that range, and also a weird flex, but okay. LeSean McCoy, 90 total yards last week against Jacksonville. Kind of a big deal because he put up over 80 yards on like 12 or 13 carries, I think it was. Severely outrushed Damian Williams, but didn't get the carries at the goal line. Is he a serious threat in Kansas City to actually warrant some fantasy consideration?
Well, I mean, for sure, LeSean McCoy, a huge pickup for Jordan. He picked up LeSean McCoy in the 9th round of the draft. So that was a pick before Ito Smith. So this was a huge pickup for Jordan, and he's definitely worthy of a flex play this week. The thing is, in my notes, Jordan's got 2 very good running backs right now. Le'Veon Bell, it looks like he's going to fit right into the Jets offense pretty well, despite how bad the Jets are. You know, Le'Veon Bell, he put up 20.2 points last week, and Chris Carson put up great numbers against Cincinnati. He was used in the running game and the passing game. I wasn't that high on Chris Carson, mostly because I just don't particularly love the Seahawks offense, but
yeah, that and with like Rashad Penny is still around all the time too, and like that really like threw me off, because I was kind of looking at one of the two of them, and I had no idea who was actually going to end up getting more carries or, like, who would get goal line touches. I was just like, yeah, Seattle led the league in rushing, but they did it with, like, seven guys running the ball all the time.
Yeah, I think Carson was starting to get a lot better at the end of the season and kind of took over the role. It seems like Rashad Penny's not the guy that they were expecting when they drafted, and Chris Carson's going to be the guy. I don't know. I think, like, the Seahawks are basically an older version of what the Ravens offense is going to be right now, where it's, you could stack the box against them, but then Russell's going to do something with his legs and just throw three deep passes to Tyler Lockett all game, and he'll catch all of them. Whereas the Ravens right now, you could stack the box against Miller and Ingram, but then Lamar's just going to toss long touchdowns to Hollywood Brown all game. So I think those are going to be two pretty similar offenses this season, but it does look like that Chris Carson's got a lock on the majority of the carries there. And yeah, so I mean, great draft picks for Jordan. His running backs are really good, and he nailed the Evan Ingram pick, it seems. Evan Ingram last week put up big numbers. Where I am a little bit concerned about Jordan's lineup is the wide receiver position. It's still kind of, we're not really sure. You know, Cooper Kupp, he's part of the three-headed monster of the Rams wide receiver, so he should put up decent numbers, but I don't know if he's going to win Jordan any weeks. Cleveland, who knows what's going to happen there. And then T.Y., like we talked about earlier. So I think overall Jordan does have a very good team. But he's still got some work to do to make it like an unbeatable team, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And I think just having anybody in that Rams offense, I think, is just a huge bonus. Like, there could be some Super Bowl hangover in there, but like Cooper Kupp got a ton of receptions. T.Y., even if he's, you know, not with Andrew Luck, he's still a solid wide receiver too. And to have that guy as your wide receiver three, I think, is huge. And then if A.J. Brown or D.J. Shark, if either of those guys ends up actually panning out, I think he's got like a solid amount of depth here. But man, if something happens with his C-stack and Wilson and Carson just run into a brick wall of a team, he's really going to hurt. But that, just like how everybody with a stack, if like one of their guys doesn't go off, it's really going to hurt him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What do you think of Jared's team?
Man, I still just think it's just okay. Like, it's not he's got, like, David Johnson was, you know, a lock at that sixth spot when he took him, and that's fine. David Montgomery should be better because Denver just looks like absolute butt. But his wide receivers, like, Thielen's fine, but I don't think he should be anybody's wide receiver one. Tyrell Williams and DJ Moore were okay. Like, his entire team is just like okay. Like if he pulls off a big upset, like, oh yeah, I could see that happening. He's got really good players with decent matchups this week. But if he loses, it's like, yeah, I could see that happening too.
Yeah, I think I hope that the trade that Jared made with Luke doesn't completely derail his season. He had Dalvin Cook. He drafted Dalvin Cook in the second round. So he had the Johnson Cook running back one, running back two positions, and then he decided to make that trade. And I kind of understand why he wanted to do it. However, it was a huge surprise the usage that Montgomery got week one. I mean, he had less carries than Thomas Davis, and then also Tariq Cohen had more snaps and had like eight receptions. So I think a lot of people thought that Montgomery was going to be the guy in Chicago, and week one it turned out that he wasn't. And now that could have been some of the game script. I mean, Chicago's offense looked pretty bad for the most part, so they didn't get anything going, but it's going to be interesting to see his usage the rest of the season and whether that trade worked out for Jared. And because if it stays the way it did in week one, then Montgomery should not even be an RB2. He should be like a flex play at best.
Yeah, and Jared just doesn't have really the running backs right now where I think he could rely on them. I mean, Philip Lindsay, very much in a time split. Kenyon Drake and the Dolphins are garbage. Darwin Thompson is now maybe third string. If LeSean McCoy actually, you know, is really good, that trade very early in the season, but that's looking like it made some sort of an impact. It definitely doesn't help with the big week that Dalvin Cook had last week, getting into the end zone a couple times. Because boy, that's really gotta hurt.
Yeah, that just looks terrible. I do think. For Jared, last week he hurt himself. He was the smelly butt team of the week, but he also left 40 points on his bench from Tyrell Williams and Mark Andrews combined. Obviously, I don't think that Mark Andrews is going to put up 20 points again, but he does have a pretty good matchup against Arizona, and TJ Hockenson went off for Detroit last week against Arizona, so we'll see if Andrews can do that again. Tyrell, I mean, Jared's definitely the one that benefits the most from the whole Antonio Brown saga. And, you know, 6 receptions, 105 yards, a touchdown, 7 targets. Like, that's a really good game. I don't think he'll be able to do that every game. But if Tyrell Williams can do that against Denver, of all teams, then I could see him putting up numbers like that, you know, every 2 or 3 games. So, a solid wide receiver 2 or a wide receiver 3, I just don't see where Jared's going to be able to match up with Jordan's firepower this week. We haven't even talked about the enigma that is Jared Goff. I don't know what has happened to that guy.
Boy, he's weird, man.
Yeah, he was killing it most of last season and then just fell off a cliff after they lost to the Bears and, like, hasn't been the same since.
Yeah, if I said, how with, you know, Cooper Kupp is still getting a ton of targets, but if that offense isn't rolling and they have to rely on arthritic Todd Gurley and, you know, whatever tag team of running backs that they're going with because Goff can't throw the ball anymore, all of a sudden the Rams go from, you know, NFC contenders to, boy, are they even going to win the NFC West?
Yeah, Todd Gurley's casket.
So I still think that the biggest advantage here, I do think Jordan's got the better team and I'm going to pick him to win. But if it comes down to it, if some of these guys struggle here and there, I really like Le'Veon Bell this week and I think he's going to have a very big game. So I'm going to go with Jordan to move to 2-0.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. I think Jordan gets a fairly comfortable victory here. It's just going to be tough for Jared. He also doesn't have the best matchup. David Johnson against Baltimore, Montgomery against Denver. Green Bay could easily shut down Thielen. So I think overall that Jordan here gets about a 20 to 25 point victory against Jared.
Oh, you're going with actual points. I didn't put that much work in. Next up,
it's okay. I mean, you could just make something up.
Oh,
you know, on the spot.
Jared loses actually in a close one. I'll say he loses by less than 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just a number I came up with. Next up, Brandon, who is 0-1 against Duncan, 1-0. Mike Reykjavik against Mount Baker Mayfield. Brandon, as we mentioned, lost to Jordan last week. Put up a decent 116, as you mentioned. Probably one of the few lonely losing teams. It's like, I still got a chance here. On the other hand, Mr. Toilet Bowl himself, Duncan, a massive 140, thanks to Carson Wentz and Mark Ingram II having some big days. Duncan also blew out his week one budget of Bahubucks with $10 on Danny M. Mandola. My goodness. Brandon is the favorite to win in what should be a pretty tight, fun matchup. As our leading Raider insider, I want to lead with this. How good is Darren Waller, and is he the right play over Njoku for Brandon?
Well, first of all, I'm no longer the Raider insider, Rick.
Wow.
It's official. I am off that wild ride.
Wow.
I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't root for him? Can't root for him? Can't watch for him? You want winners?
Can't do it.
Can't do it. I want winners.
Yeah, so Darren Waller, very good player. In fact, he's going to be in one of my segments later.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just sneak preview. That'll make the listeners keep on wanting to listen. But overall, I want to hear your thoughts on this matchup first.
Fair enough. I didn't think that I would steal one of your segment guys right off the bat. But I think of all of the stuff that and all of the stacks that we saw last week, there was a lot of people that did really well with their stacks. And the one person who lost who had a really good stack was Brandon with James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster. And I think I'm starting to realize I've kind of been, you know, seeing the downtrend coming with the Steelers with all of the BS that they've off the field have been dealing with. And I think last year they had – Juju definitely had a safety blanket in that Antonio Brown was on the other side of the field and coverages couldn't guard him and AB at the same time. That benefited Juju becoming the star that he is. James Conner more or less had a security blanket in that, hey, I can kind of do whatever I want because teams still think at any point Le'Veon might show up. Both of those things are gone this year, and so teams can key in on defense to shut down Juju because no second option has really shown up in Pittsburgh. And stopping Conner, like, it, you know, it's just kind of stopping the run game. He's not the same dual threat guy that Le'Veon was, so you more or less know that when he's in the game, it's probably going to be a run. And I just think if these guys this year at some point, if they don't start to click and they can't both, you know, put up something – not obviously AB and Le'Veon numbers, but if they can't put something up, you know, if they only combined for, I think it was 18 points last week, if they're not going to be combining for more than 25, or if, you know, one or the two of them has to get into the end zone, Brandon could struggle a little bit here. One of them's going to have to take off sooner before the other.
Yeah, I didn't actually watch the Pittsburgh-New England game, so I can't get a good gauge on what that was like. However, I will say that just based on the numbers, you know, Brandon's going to want 35 to 40 points combined out of those guys, ideally 15 to 20, you know, maybe each. You know, you want to get a touchdown for sure from at least one of them. So I think last week might be an outlier. He's going to get a touchdown from those guys, you would imagine. Conner, 10 carries, 21 yards. I'm guessing he got phased out of the game just because they were down by so much. He did have four receptions. Those are big question marks for Brandon. And then, you know, looking at the rest of his team, Josh Jacobs was a huge, with a huge performance week one, 23 carries, 85 yards, two touchdowns. So if he can put up numbers like that consistently, then, you know, that's going to be his number one running back, you would think, over Conner. And I think the Raiders are, this is former Raider insider saying that I think the Raiders are going to use Josh Jacobs a lot as their bell cow and, you know, in the running game and the passing game. But after that, you know, it's fairly solid. I don't love the John Ross play this week. For Cincinnati in Brandon's flex position. I think last week, 158 yards, two touchdowns will never happen again. And, you know, Cam on Thursday night against Tampa, Cam coming off an atrocious performance week one against L.A., you know, Cam looked bad, man. Yeah, I know. I don't know if he's going to be the same player as he was in the past. So, that's very interesting. You know, I mean, Cam, as a former Cam owner, you know, Cam will have those games that just frustrates you to hell where he's like throwing flat footed and just throwing it straight to the defense four times a game and looks terrible, but then he'll come back the next week and rush for 80 yards and just be throwing lasers to his receivers and, you know, have an awesome game. So You never know with Cam, but it does seem to be that more recently, this season and at the end of last season, when he's been a little bit hurt, that his performances have really struggled.
Yeah, like with you could sense with a lot of guys, like there was a lot of rust that they were trying to deal with, and it wasn't, you know, maybe by week three, you know, they'll really be rounding into form kind of thing. But man, that Cam just like he was making bad throws. The O-line didn't look good. He wasn't moving well. Run CMC still had a pretty good game, but it was just it was really weird that he the Rams also at the same time, like the Rams couldn't run away with that game either when they really should have. So maybe that's too just rusty teams having bad performances and then good moments just, you know, waxing and waning at opposite times through that game. But it yeah, something could be up with Cam and that could kind of be a bad look.
Yeah, for sure. So I think Brandon, you know, he lost last week, but he's going to be one of those teams, as usual, it seems like, with Brandon, where he's going to be like 500 all season, you know, just based on his roster right now. So, you know, Miles Sanders is on his bench, the running back from Philadelphia. That running back committee just is terrible to be a part of as a Jordan Howard owner. It's just kind of scary. Christian Kirk, if Arizona gets their offense, you know, up and running a little bit, then maybe Christian Kirk could put up some big numbers in the future. Christian Kirk had 12 targets last week. That's crazy, and only 4 receptions.
Yeah, well, yeah, Arizona threw the ball like almost 60 times in that game, right?
I don't know. Did they?
I think they did. Well, I mean, they went to, you know, they tied in overtime, so they had more plays. But that game, like, they threw the ball a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think, and then we haven't even mentioned on Brandon's bench, Terry McLaurin. 5 receptions, 125 yards, and a touchdown, 21 points last week, which is just insane for a rookie.
I have no idea who that guy is.
You don't know? You didn't? He's the number 12 ranked wide receiver right now, Rick.
I think he's got a fake name. How is his name Terry Lauren? It doesn't make sense. Is it that Tommy?
Yeah.
Is it that Tommy Lauren chick? And she just like decided to trigger the libs by playing football?
Oh God! Fuck that. See you in. She's the worst. Anyway, what do you think of Duncan's team?
Duncan's team, on the other hand, I think is actually like surprisingly strong. Zeke is a monster, and we kind of know about that. If Mark Ingram is going to continue to get a ton of those goal line touches that he got in New England and he's getting now in Baltimore, and that Ravens offense is good, he's going to be really good.
Wait, did you say New England?
Did I? I meant New Orleans. Sorry, he's probably a future New England Patriot, though. Breaking news.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure.
His wide receivers, I think, are a little questionable, especially if he's going to really rely on Danny Amendola, who, you know, got a lot of targets, but whatever. I don't trust Dante Moncrief yet as being a solid option. I think he should be going with Will Fuller there, but I understand with kind of a tough matchup against Jacksonville coming up, or maybe even Emmanuel Sanders, who off his Achilles looked like a guy who is not coming off of an Achilles injuries last week. So I think Duncan right now is actually starting the wrong people on his roster. If that kind of definitely guys I wouldn't start, but he's got a pretty solid roster going right now, which is something we haven't said about Duncan in a long time.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty interesting. I think Duncan played Tim last week. I think if you would have asked Tim before the week, or if you would have told Tim before the week started and said, Mike Evans is going to score less than 4, George Kittle is going to score less than 10, and Darius Geis is going to leave halfway through the game injured, I think Tim would have been like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to win this one easily. But instead, Carson Wentz goes for a quarter century. Mark Ingram scores 22.7. Ridley does well. Sanders does well. And then he gets 30 points from his defense and kicker, like combined, you know?
Yeah.
So, and he puts up 140. So, pretty crazy what Duncan did last week. So, it's going to be I'm curious to see if Brandon could, or if Duncan can do that again. Also, shout out Duncan. Did he pick up Marcus Mariota?
He sure did, yeah. So Marcus is back on our roster. We can officially commence the Semi-Products League. Marcus is on our roster, everybody.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Marcus did look pretty good against Cleveland, so.
He's number 9 quarterback right now. That's a guy you're going to want to have on your roster.
Yeah. So I don't know about Duncan's team, his wide receivers. I think he's got very good running backs, but I think for this week, I don't know. I'm not convinced about Calvin Ridley. I think Amendola actually might outscore Ridley this week. And then I do not like the Dante Moncrief play at all. I think he should start Will Fuller.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I even wouldn't play Amendola. I would play Fuller and Emmanuel Sanders again. It's just those guys, it doesn't make sense to me that they would go for those matchups. Because Seattle, like, yeah, John Ross broke away a couple times against that defense, and the Clippers let up a lot of yards to Jacoby Brissett, but, like, I don't think they're going to be able to do that 2 weeks in a row. I don't agree with those starts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see how it pays off for him. For sure. I don't really have much else to add to this matchup. Do you have anything else?
No, that's all I've got as well. I initially wrote down that I thought Zeke would be a difference maker here, and I still think he will. But after really looking through those wide receivers and with the lineup that Duncan has right now, I'm going to change my pick to Brandon to get leveled up to 500 here.
You know, I'm really on the fence about this one, and I think I'm just going to go and say Duncan wins. I have a gut feeling that Duncan gets the win this week.
Very, very interesting. That was my initial gut feeling, and then you talked me out of it. So technically, I'm right either way, I think is what I should say.
I think Duncan wins by 5.
Yeah, either way, this is going to be an extremely tight matchup here. No matter what. Next up, our last matchup for this half of the pod, Pip, a pair of winless teams, I should say. Pip, who is 0-1, going up against Tim, also 0-1. The Grand Manion versus Kraft Bunny Ranch. Timmy Two Pints only managed 85 last week as Aaron Rodgers was his leading scorer with only 12.9. And this is a damn near projected tie. Pip has a 1/10 of a point favorite lead, 104.3 to 104.2. And now you mentioned you don't want to go 0-3, 0-4 to start a season, but we've seen Timmy come back from those slow starts to make the playoffs. But this could also be a loser perhaps for stand-up games, so who knows. You've got Melvin Gordon on your bench who could keep holding out into November. Golden Tate Bridge is suspended for another 3 weeks, and no Tyreek Hill potentially for another 4 to 6 weeks. What exactly is your plan here, Pip?
That's a very good question. You know, I was, bear with me here. I was thinking today about, you know, stuff to write down for this podcast, stuff to prepare. And, you know, I just started looking and analyzing my lineup a little bit more. And it's just crazy how in 1 week you can go from like, oh, yeah, I got a pretty good team. I think I'll be, you know, very competitive. And, you know, now I'm like, wow, this team sucks. So, it's interesting. I don't know if you've seen the final standing projection thing on the ESPN app.
I did see that, yeah.
So I was, I guess, you know, whatever numbers they use, I was projected 2nd after week 1, or before, after the draft. And now I'm projected 12th. I've dropped 10 points. And I was thinking, like, you know, if I was in Dallas and I was just, like, hanging out on the porch, and I was sitting there with Mike, we were chatting about nothing and, you know, just talking about our golf game, you know, our backswing. You know, going through all of that, and then you know, out of nowhere, you show up, Rick, and you're like, "Tip, come over here. I got something to tell you." I was like, "Okay, what?" And you were like, "You know, I came from the future." Like, what? What do you mean you came from the future? He's like, "Yeah, I'm a time traveler. I got some bad news for you. The worst things that could have happened to your team week one happened." Like, oh my God! You know, did all my players die? And you were like, no. It's much worse than that. I was like, no, it can't be worse than that, Rick. He's like, no, it is. Pip, hear me out. I'm like, okay, well, tell me what happened. Okay, let's start with the first thing, okay? Melvin Gordon, as soon as I draft him, the Chargers say they're not even going to bother negotiating with him. Like, okay, that's bad. Yeah, so he's going to be holding out for like half the season, if not the whole season. So I will probably be out of contention by the time he even comes back to getting on a football field. Next, Melvin Gordon gets a joke trade offer from the Philadelphia Eagles, just confirming that he's not going anywhere and he's stuck on my bench, you know, unless I can deal him for absolutely nothing. So if that's not bad enough, Austin Eckler goes and scores 36.4 points to completely kill any value that Melvin Gordon has at all. But wait, there's more. My second running back, Aaron Jones, is practically worth, like, not even a flex play at this point because the Green Bay running game looked absolutely terrible and was destroyed by Chicago. And now they're playing Minnesota, and they're going to get the same thing happen to them, which sucks. Then you tell me, wait, Pip, there's even more. Oh, great. What else do I have to bear, Rick? Tyreek Hill gets injured mid-game. He scores 3 points and is out an undisclosed period of time based on his recovery. That's what the Chiefs come out and say immediately. Like, no shit is based on his recovery. If he recovers well, then he's going to be back sooner. Like, you don't have to say that. You know, I mean, if Tyreek Hill, like, is the one guy on my team who could score 35 points and win me any week. And now he's gone for half the season. So that's awesome. And not only that, it gets worse because then you tell me that a random guy drafted in the 14th round will be the guy who's going to benefit the most from Tyreek Hill's injury. And I'm like, oh shit, who's that? And you say, Mecole Hardman. Like, who the hell is Mecole Hardman? And who drafted him? And then you tell me your arch nemesis, Jordan Archer, drafted him. And he's on his roster.
That's tough, man.
And then, on top of that, you tell me the Browns are still the fucking Browns. And Baker Mayfield sucks ass, and Nick Chubb, you know, can't do anything because his offensive line is taking 163 yards of holding penalties all game.
It's bad, man. Rant.
That's my rant.
So, yeah.
Can you play a yeah, dude, for me? Just cheer me up.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, dude.
That helps a lot. Yeah. Play
yeah,
it again.
Dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Keep going.
Your team sucks.
So, yeah, I'm pretty pissed off.
So you're feeling good and you're doing well.
Well, okay. Now seriously, I'm glad I've got a good – I think I've got a good matchup here with Tim this week. What do you think of Tim, Steve?
It obviously doesn't help that the Toad Gurley didn't get a lot of goal line carries last week, and his backup got two touchdowns, especially when I said, the Toad's going to be back, that arthritis is gone. Obviously, it's still a problem. I like, in theory, if they can actually, if the Green Bay offense gets clicking at some point, the pack stack is going to work. That's going to pay off for him. I have very little trust in Chris Godwin just on principle because Fronick is so high on him, and I'm not sure what to make of DK Metcalf. He's kind of got a team that's, you know, all over the place, but he's still got a pretty solid bench. Quincy Enema's now done for the season, so he's going to have to work something out there. He's got a good team. I don't know how far his team can go, but Tim always seems to be right in the thick of things for, like, you know, 5 through 7, no matter what, how good or bad his team actually is. And no matter how good and bad we say his team is, he's always, you know, 5th through 7th every single year. He's never better and he's never worse. He's just average Tim every fucking time. And he can so very easily go off this week, and he could also put up a dud, and I really don't know what to make of it. Which is the most BS answer, because you can literally use those exact words to talk about any fantasy matchup. Pip, yeah, you could absolutely go off this week, or you could put up a dud. I'm just not sure what to make of your team.
That's one of those, like, Fronik saying. Fronik and Tim like to say those things a lot, you know. So wait, I guess it's fitting.
I need to share a story from Dallas week. So, Fronik and I are sitting at our gate to leave to go back to Eugene, and the wives are in line at Chick-fil-A getting us breakfast. I had been making several trips to the bathroom because I had the poops from that Mexican dinner the night before. And I'm for some reason, the meal I have the night before I fly is always the worst possible thing I could eat. Like when we left for Dallas, Bree was just like, I don't want to cook. Can we get McDonald's? I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm really going to regret this at 4 o'clock in the morning when I have to get up, because that's exactly when I'm going to get diarrhea. And it's almost exactly when I got diarrhea. And on the way back, like, you know, we drank a shitload of beer after eating Mexican food, and I'll be damned. I had diarrhea in the middle of the night, and I pooped 5 times. Before I got on that plane at 12 o'clock.
Holy shit.
Right. So Fronik and I are sitting at our gate, and I'm reading some articles on The Athletic. I'm drowning in my sorrows from the Ducks game because that still hurt. And Fronik, out of the blue, like, looks up from his 19 chicken nugget packs that he got from Chick-fil-A. And of course, Kayla's getting him more Chick-fil-A because he can never have enough. And he looks at me and he goes, you know, I'm really kind of surprised we didn't see more of Katie this weekend. Like, I understand, like, she was here with her family, and, like, you know, Luke wasn't, like, they weren't staying with the girls, or they weren't staying in our house or anything like that. And, you know, I guess it was kind of more of a her family thing and then an us thing. So, you know, it kind of makes sense. But, you know, I'm still kind of surprised we didn't see more of her this week. And without even answering his question, I just start laughing. I'm like, you heard the circle you talked yourself through, right? Like, you heard how you answered your question as you were still actually technically asking a question. You answered it. And he goes, yeah, I sometimes don't think before I speak. And I was like, sometimes, dude, this is your life.
Yeah, that's the classic Fronik moment, for sure.
Yeah, so basically that's my long roundabout Fronik way of saying, yeah, Tim's team could really blow up this week, or he could just, you know, have a dud. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. No, I think Devontae Adams, I read that he scored a touchdown in 4 straight games against the Vikings. So if that becomes a 5th game, then for sure Rodgers to Adams is going to help Tim. However, we saw Minnesota last week kind of shut down Ryan and Julio Jones a little bit. So, I don't know how well those two guys are going to do. I expect probably like 15 to 20 from Rodgers and maybe 10 to 15 from Adams. I don't think it will be a stunning game, but I think will be pretty solid. Like you said, I don't like Chris Godwin. I don't think he's very good. I don't think the Tampa Bay offense is going to be spectacular this week, and also Thursday, short week, travel week for Tampa Bay against Carolina. You know, I don't love the DK Metcalf play also. I think that's pretty risky. James White against Miami, that could be a big play for Tim. We saw how atrocious Miami was last week, so I fully expect to lose at the flex this week because I just cannot make up my mind on which bad player I want to play. Whether it be Jordan Howard, who's like one of 3 running backs in Philadelphia, Dante Pettis, who Kyle Shanahan must hate with all his guts, and like DeMarcus Robinson, who is the fifth option in Kansas City, nice. Or maybe Gus Edwards, who could get some garbage time points against Arizona.
Yeah, that's it's quite a tough spot to be in. I totally get having Jamal Williams as just a handcuff, like, is really helpful. But it's really, like, it's only helpful if there's a legit number one and then, like, you've got a backup in case of injury. And in Green Bay's case, like, both of those guys could play, and you could very much sitting here watching Jamal Williams go off for 25 on your bench, and you started Aaron Jones, and you just want to jump into whatever river is near Nashville and just be floated away into the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, it's the Cumberland River. Actually kind of sounds kind of good right now because it's so hot, but I do think Aaron Jones is going to bounce back a little bit. He was the better-looking runner against Chicago, and that's a really tough defense. I think that Chubb is going to do well against New York. I think Baker is going to bounce back as well. I really hope Antonio Brown doesn't play so Edelman can remain their number one. I don't think Antonio Brown being there will affect Edelman that much, but it will affect him a little bit. I like Allen Robinson. I think he's going to be good this season. I'm hoping for the same from Marquise Brown. A little bit scared that he only played like 14 snaps last week.
Yeah.
That does definitely scare me, but I really don't have another option. You know, if Tyreek Hill was healthy and I put Hollywood Brown in my flex, then I would be super happy. But having him as my wide receiver three, do not love that. And then Delanie Walker, I fully expect him to do or have games where he scores a touchdown or two, you know, pretty often. I think he's a very good tight end, and he's one of Marcus's favorite receivers. So I think this is, I like the projection show. I think it's going to be a very close matchup. I need to hope that the Chargers shut down Kerryon Johnson more than they did Marlon Mack, and hope that Gurley doesn't get as many I hope that Gurley keeps getting snaked at the goal line. That was also a frustrating thing from last week. Like, the backup running back for Cleveland had one carry, and it was at the 4-yard line, and he snaked a touchdown from Chubb. So it was just a frustrating week. I'm glad I was playing Luke, though, so I can't be too upset with a loss, I suppose. But this is a big week for both of us. Me and Tim, I've talked to him a little bit, and we're both concerned about where our teams are and where our teams are going to go. So this is a big week for us, and I'm hoping for the best. But I am going to pick myself to win this one. I'm going to say by like 6 points.
Yeah, my only positive note for you is that Baker Mayfield is, I think, like undefeated against teams with a losing record. So he should have a really big game against the Jets. I think the Bears defense against Denver is just going to feast, and I think that's going to be a great positive matchup. You've kind of got to hope for, like, you know, at least Hollywood Brown playing in a lot more snaps, and at least if he's not going to catch, you know, three passes and have two touchdowns at some point on the day, like, have five or six catches and, you know, maybe a touchdown, but like, he's got to get over that 100 yard mark. I do think in a very, very close one, I think I'm going to pick you to win. I think you said five or six. I would think even less than that. I think you're really going to need Baker Mayfield and Chubb to probably be within 25, 30, I would think, at the most, to really get back into this, because I don't know if Baker is necessarily the kind of quarterback who you can be like, oh, he's got 20-plus points in him. Like, I'm absolutely in this if Chubb gets into the end zone. You're gonna need a lot of points from both of them on Monday, but probably around 30. I think you'll be in a good spot. But I agree. I think you're going to get the win here and finally get into that win column.
I hope you're right.
That brings us to segment time. You mentioned you wanted to talk about Darryl Waller. What?
Yeah, Darryl Waller is my Warren Moon sleeper of the week.
Good night, Warren Moon. Sleep well.
Darren Waller last week, he was in and played on all of Oakland's 55 offensive snaps in week one and earned a target share of 31%. He had 7 catches last night. He only had 6 all of last season. And the Chiefs have allowed over 1,000 yards of receiving. The Chiefs have allowed 1,098 yards to tight ends since the start of last season, 6 most in the league, and a strong indicator Waller could thrive as a top target this weekend.
I like that. That would, because he's a guy, because I was, you know, half watching the late Monday night game, but he put up some pretty good numbers last week. So I was kind of curious if he was actually the guy that maybe could make a difference for a team. So very good. I appreciate that. I will buy in on the Waller train. I also have a Rock of the Week.
Rock of the Week.
Le'Veon Bell is who I'm going to go with. I was really shocked last week at how not good the Browns defense was, especially because I picked them as the second defense off the board, which I also immediately regretted. But when you think about that TD Henry touchdown that he scored, the 75-yard screen, he is not a pass-catching back. He is not supposed to be able to outrun a defense for 75 yards, and he did both of those things. And unless Cleveland's defense can somehow travel in under the bright lights of Monday Night Football, they're going to be able to adapt and make some sort of change. I really think Le'Veon Bell is going to have a monster week this week, and I think he's going to be a big key into Jordan winning or not.
I would agree with that. I think that's a good pick, Rick. Do you have a Brock of the Week, too?
I do not have a Brock of the Week.
Play the Brock of the Week drop.
Brock! Brock! Brock, 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 Brock! Brock!
Brock of the Week.
Dante Moncrief. I just don't think he's a very good wide receiver, and they're playing Seattle, so I think Seattle's going to shut down the Steelers for the most part, and Dante Moncrief is my Brock of the Week.
I agree. I was torn on picking him or James Washington very late in the draft as a guy who, just as a second option, maybe would, you know, kind of come up out of nowhere or whatever. And he certainly, the entire Pittsburgh team just looked like poop last week. But Moncrief was especially uninspiring there. So I agree as well. Good pick.
I have a Plaxico.
Hold on.
You got Plaxico'd.
That goes to Mike Schmidt for leaving 73.7 points on his bench from Sammy Watkins and DeSean Jackson last week.
It's a lot of points.
That is a lot of points. Now, to be fair to Mike, I don't think he would have expected Sammy Watkins to get 9 receptions for 198 yards and 3 touchdowns, but... Yeah, that was a big surprise. And then DeSean Jackson follows that up with 8 receptions, 154 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So those are the number one and number two receivers in fantasy football right now. And they were on Mike's bench last week. And he lost by 47 points. So if he would have played those over Mike Williams and Stephon Diggs, he would have won. But... hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, that's still pretty bad, though.
You got Plaxico'd.
Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I have a little fun fact trivia about some of these stars, like week one stars that broke out last week that you may not know about, may not know much about. So I'm going to give you a fact about this this person. And I want you to try and guess who it is.
Okay.
Okay? This player went to the College of the Canyons and worked at Six Flags Magic Mountain to pay his bills.
I have no idea.
That was Hollywood Brown.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, before he went to Oklahoma. He was at the College of the Canyons in SoCal.
Which canyons?
Canyons, just the canyons.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. They study canyons there. That's what he got a degree in. Canyon Barner. Damn it, that's a good name.
Oh, that is a good one.
Grand Canyon Barner. That's what my team name should be. Fuck.
Is that I'm absolutely sure that Twitter handle is available too, because if the Grand Manion is open, the Grand Canyon Barner absolutely is too.
Yeah. All right. Well, if I lose this week, then I'm changing my name to that. How about that?
Fair enough.
Okay. The next one.
Sorry.
You're right.
I'm watching the MLB Network, and Mark Melanson just got a save, and I'm in the playoff semifinals against Jordan, and I just got another save today, and that was huge. And Josh Donaldson like picked it over the railing, and to get the final out, so I was very excited. I got a thumbs up from Squatch. He's over in the studio next door. He apparently heard me through the double pane glass windows.
Is Squatch? What's Squatch doing? Is he just watching you?
He is technically working right now, but he's also strangely watching. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I wouldn't want Squatch staring at me. The next fun fact is that this player doesn't have a picture on ESPN Fantasy Football.
Is that the Tommy Lauren guy?
Yeah, that's Terry McLaurin. He's also the only guy named Terry in the NFL.
Really? Is he the first Terry since Bradshaw?
Well, what's the, wasn't Terry Crews in the NFL?
I don't think so. Oh, let's see. There's been Terry Glenn, Terry McDaniel, Terry Allen, Terry Kirby, Terry Wooden. Okay, so very much no.
Okay. It's an interesting name, being named Terry.
Is that short for anything? Yeah.
Right, Terrence.
Hold on. Terry Paxton right. Bradshaw. No, his full name's Terry. Anyways, go on.
Okay, last one. So, can you name the tight end who went off for the Lions this last week?
Was Hawkinson, right?
Yeah, from?
Iowa?
Yep. Can you name the three other Iowa tight ends drafted since 2014?
George Kittle, right?
That's one.
I want to say Jake Butt, just so I can say Jake Butt.
No, he went to Michigan.
Ooh, okay, the wrong Big Ten school. Oh no, I definitely know of. Was there another Iowa guy this year?
There was.
Fuck. I literally can't think of his name.
Scott drafted him. Noah Fant.
Right. Yep, that's the guy.
And then this one guy was a little bit older. He used to play on the Texans.
Oh, was it... Oh, the guy had like a name from Family Guy or something. Brian Brian something.
I honestly forget his first name. I only wrote down his last name.
What's his last name?
Fedora Dix.
Oh, Fedora. Yeah. Fedora Dix. Okay. I think his name's Brian yeah. or something.
It's probably Brian. That's an Iowa name. Anyway, Hawkinson is from Charlton, Iowa, and his student-to-teacher ratio was very specifically 13 students to every 9 teachers.
Whoa. Oh
yeah.
It's C.J. Fedorowicz. That's very much not a name from Family Guy.
No.
He retired at 26.
Well, he retired?
Yeah, he's done.
Hmm. Well, I don't have anything else for you, Rick. Do you have anything for me?
I do not. I am all prepped out. I am all out of notes. I'm actually going to be recording with Mike tomorrow night because we're running late tonight, but I'm still going to put out this first half of the pod out tonight because that's what the people expect. So thank you very much, Pip, for coming on and talking about half of the matchups, and stay tuned for tomorrow for the other half if we haven't talked about your team or your player.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Pip, and good luck in your matchup this week.
I appreciate it.